Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. I am Jason Powell here with an audio review of the 205 Live show that aired on WWE Network live from Chicago, Illinois. We will get into that coming up after the break for non-members. 205 Live finally played to a seemed like a mostly full crowd. I don't know how much moving people around they did, but they were able to show some wide shots in the arena. It seemed like the fans in Chicago, for the most part, seemed to stick around. You could see some empty rows in there here and there, but a better crowd than usual, it seemed, for 205 Live, and more energetic at times. It wasn't, it wasn't like it was the fans were reacting to everything, but Chicago being a hot wrestling town, I think they reacted better than most to the cruiserweights, and so that had to be a nice change of pace for the guys performing on this show. And hopefully, I'd love to think it's a sign that, hey, the cruiserweights are catching on. I just think it was more about the town than anything. And I don't know what they promised the fans for dark main events, if they were fans were sticking around for that, or if it was just a case of Chicago being a hot wrestling town. But I definitely enjoyed it for one night, just a little bit better vibe. The usual broadcast team of Mauro Ranallo, Corey Graves, and Austin Aries. We get the 205 Live opening after a video package, and that broadcast team checked in. And we went to the first match, which was Tony Nese, who had Drew Gulak in his corner, wearing a suit. He defeated Cedric Alexander, who had Alicia Fox with him, in 6:05. They played up the weird relationship between Alicia Fox and Cedric Alexander, I think, last week. It almost seemed like Alicia was somewhat sympathetic. She was back to being a bit crazy, I guess, is the way they kind of portray Alicia, and have for some time. Gulak ended up bickering with her at ringside. He took off his jacket, and then she started to yell at him, and he kind of, like, I guess, intentionally tumbled over backward. I don't know if the idea was that he was acting like she hit him or what it was. Or he was just reacting to her yelling and being overly dramatic about it. But the referee threw her out. This distracts Cedric. And then he ended up walking into a shot from Nese, who pinned him. And so Nese gets the win. By the way, if you're wondering what the premier athlete gimmick is for that Tony Nese uses, Mauro Ranallo said it has. He's the premier athlete in many ways. I don't know exactly what that meant. Mauro's awesome, but in that one, I'm like, okay. But yeah, Nese goes over. I don't think. I mean, the Noam Dar and Alicia Fox and Cedric Alexander bit is fun. I kind of feel like it could be anyone in the role of Cedric, and I think he's too valuable to be kind of wasting away in this weird love triangle. And things did get weirder because you had Fox backstage after the match and Noam Dar approaching her and saying that he knows Christmas was a couple days ago, but he got her a present. He held up mistletoe between them. She slapped him. He smiled and asked for another, and he held it up again, and sure enough, she slapped him a second time. She storms off, and Dar says, Merry Christmas to me. So, yeah, he's a creeper. Noam Dar, he's not just trying, I compared him to Henri from Cheers. I thought he was trying to steal Woody, or in this case, Cedric's girlfriend. He's a creeper. I kind of get a kick out of it. Dar plays the role pretty well. I don't know this is what people had in mind when Noam Dar was signed to 205 Live, but he's doing a nice job with it. Again, it just, if I had to pull someone from this, it would be Cedric, because I think there's, as we saw in the Cruiserweight Classic, this guy's really good, and I just don't think that him being paired with the crazy girlfriend who may or may not be stolen by Noam Dar, the creeper, is the best use of him. From there, we went to Renee Young conducting a sit-down interview with Neville. He's going at American fans again. It's all their fault that they don't appreciate him and all this. And he said he doesn't call himself the king of the cruiserweights, but he is just that. And he said he's used to competing against 300-pounders. And he's talked about how facing these guys would be a doddle, I think was the word he said. And Renee Young didn't understand what he said either. I'm going based on what the subtitles had to say. And so he ended up ending the interview at that point. Hate to say it, the fans chanted USA during Neville's match. I'm not a fan of, it just feels cheap and one-dimensional. Like, maybe they just assume he's going to be cheered overseas anyway, in England, but outside of England, is he going to be a heel there? Is he going to try to heel on the home countrymen, even though this is all about American fans? What about Canada? Is it North American fans or just American fans? Not a fan of that. Just, I don't think it's necessary. I think the king of the cruiserweights, with him just being such, I hate to say this because I cringe when I wrote it, But I labeled him, just said he's nasty, and I'm worried they're going to start calling him Nasty Neville, and I don't want that. They love that kind of stuff. But no, I think he's doing a really nice job here, and the whole blaming America feels kind of beneath him. But yeah, there were some fans who chanted USA, and if any fans at an NXT or at a 205 live show chant anything, I think management is going to hear it and go, "Hey, look, that's catching on." Next up was Mustafa Ali defeating John Yurnit in 205. They introduced Ali as being from Chicago, and that got him a nice reaction. And he ended up winning quickly with an inverted 450 splash. There was some question as to whether Yurnit had suffered a groin injury, is what the broadcast team speculated, because of the way he was moving around gingerly. It was a brief match, but he was moving around kind of awkwardly. But then after the match, Ali, who had been kind of a cocky heel, his gimmick was, he's going to prove people wrong. It was heelish in that he was making it seem like people would see his name and boo him, or see the way he looked and boo him. But in this case, he was interviewed by Dasha Fuentes, and he said that people made assumptions about him. He assumed that all people made assumptions about him due to his name and appearance, but he actually said the fans proved him wrong. He said it's not a perfect world, but with each win he piles up, he's going to let that speak for itself. So this was definitely babyface Mustafa Ali, and I think it's better. I kind of like that. I think there's a way to incorporate that into the act a little bit, but I just, I don't know. I kind of felt maybe too similar to even, now this is going back a ways and they can get away with it now, but almost similar to something Sean Devari said back in the day. And Ali just didn't feel like the right guy to play it. Fans seemed to react to him as a babyface anyway, and they weren't giving him any heat for that. It wasn't like he would come out and fans would boo because of the name. And maybe they just figured that out, that this guy's better off as a babyface. We'll see where it goes. We'll see what happens when they're outside of Chicago. We ended up getting an Arya Daivari video package and focused on his feud with Jack Gallagher. And then it was time for the gentleman's duel. This was not really a match. It was a duel. And what it was, Daivari comes out dressed in his ring gear. Gallagher comes out in his non-wrestling attire, looking very much the part of the extraordinary gentleman. They had a table set up in the ring. And it had a frying pan, some rope, an umbrella, pipe, or a pipe, I should say, a lead pipe, and then a wrench. It looked like a candlestick holder, and then two vases with flowers and a teapot. And the rules were that each man would choose his weapon. And Gallagher, being the gentleman, told Daivari he could go ahead and choose his first. Well, Daivari does the smart thing and grabs the pipe. Gallagher responds by grabbing the umbrella. And before SmackDown, had watched the Ring of Honor television show and saw Marty Scurll, and I was having flashbacks to him and his umbrella. But Daivari was ready to fight, but Gallagher said, "Wait a minute, there's rules here." And the idea was that they both had to stand back-to-back, and then he said, "Take 10, and he looked at, how far away they were from the rope, said, "Take 5 paces." Crowd kind of chuckled over that one. "Turn, and then engage in combat." And Daivari agreed to the rules. And Gallagher took his 2 steps. Daivari never took a step and instead turned and tried to hit him, but Gallagher outsmarted him. He saw it coming. He ducked it and then worked him over with the umbrella. And I was getting a kick out of it at this point. They were doing some funny stuff with the umbrella, just using like a pool cue and kind of doing the old bit where you use the hook of the umbrella to take, kind of sweep the ankle out, that sort of stuff. And they were playing it well. And then it just kind of went on a little too long. The fans, I think, when Daivari ended up coming back, he kind of used the table and slammed that into Gallagher's gut. And then he was putting the boots to him. And I think the fans chanted a-hole here. I'll just put it nicely. I don't think they weren't as nice as I was. I think that's what they were chanting anyway. I was like, my God, there's actual heat on 205 Live. That's good. But Daivari picked up the wrench, and Gallagher recovered, though, and caught him with a headbutt and a running dropkick in the corner, and then Daivari rolled to ringside, and Gallagher was declared the winner via forfeit. So Jack Gallagher wins the duel, the gentleman's duel. And Corey Graves was giddy about this and said that it was the greatest duel in WWE history. And Austin Aries kind of like, yes, yeah, it was the greatest duel in WWE history, of course, because there has not been another duel in WWE history. It was fine. I got it. I got a kick. Like I said, after the umbrella stuff, I was like, yeah, I would have been okay with him just running off after getting beat worked over with the umbrella a little bit. I didn't probably. It wasn't like it went on forever or anything like that. But it was fine. Jack Gallagher continues to be very entertaining, and they have something there. I just hope they don't get too cute with it. This duel thing was kind of fun. I'd hate to see them go too far in this direction, though. Don't get too cute. Then we had a video package on Tajiri, who will be returning next week. So Tajiri returning to WWE after all these years. And then we get some hyper talking smack. And then ring introductions for the main event took place. Neville did not get much of a reaction. There were some cheers over Rich Swann. Usually it's kind of people, they'll find enough people dancing to his music to make it look like people care, but he doesn't get much of a reaction either. But he did here in Chicago. And then in the fourth match of the night, the main event, it was Neville defeating Rich Swann in a non-title match in 14 minutes. And going into this, I'm like, well, of course Neville's going to win. I mean, it's a non-title situation. They want to set up the title match. You have they gave Swan kind of a storyline back injury, and that was something that Neville targeted here in this match. And so it's like, well, of course he's going to win. It still felt very entertaining. The near falls were good on both sides, especially I found myself being surprised by just not it wasn't like I thought Swan was going to win, but there were still a couple of moments where you're like, eh, just that maybe crosses your mind as you're going with that 2.5 count. And so they did a good job here. I enjoyed the match. Thought it was a good, strong main event that carried the show. Made me feel like I didn't just waste my time watching, because the first couple matches were just there, and then the duel was what it was. But the main event made the show worth watching overall. Neville coming off very heelish, still just tenacious in the ring, vicious, ruthless. All those adjectives. He's just doing a great job. Everything that I think we've talked about, that people, someone in the business who I respect told me a long time ago they thought he would be really good in this, and they kind of pointed to this type of a persona, and sure enough, this is what we're seeing, and he's playing it very well. So he gets the win after, despite it being a good back and forth match, and that wasn't enough for him. He ended up working over Swan after the match. A few referees came in and tried to talk him down, and as he had Swan down, he kind of wiped his feet by him and then yelled, "Bring me my crown." And then he left the ring to close the show. He actually went to ringside and yelled it one more time too. So Neville doing a strong job. And Swan, I think, this is an opportunity for Swan, as I wrote at the end of my review, to show off a different side of his personality. We've seen fun-loving, dancing Rich Swan. And there's only so much interest in it. I think it's the fans like him. If those who care about 205 Live and the Cruiserweights seem to like him, there's nothing to dislike really. But he, I think it's going to take another layer. It's going to take more than just being the smiling and dancing guy. We need more than that from Rich Swann. And I think working with someone like Neville, who has just just comes off as having such a mean streak to him, just being so sadistic in the ring, I think this is a chance for Swan to show that he's more than just a smiling and dancing guy. There's got to be more to him than that if this is going to click long term, and I think he'll have a chance to do that here. Curious to see when that title match will be, if it's something that's going to play out on television. I'm hoping that they will save it for the Royal Rumble, because the Rumble will take an hour, but it's a 4-hour show, plus you have probably a 2-hour kickoff show on top of that, so plenty of time to fill. And I think this is about the biggest match they have right now in the Cruiserweight division, so hopefully they'll save it for the Rumble and try to make it feel special. And I wouldn't be surprised if, whether it's just sometime soon, I'll be surprised if we don't see Neville ending up with that championship sooner rather than later. I just think he's doing such a good job. Austin Aries also doing a very nice job on commentary again. I like the broadcast team. I talked about it in Q&A. If you missed it on Tuesday, I did the Q&A audio show. Normally, it's member exclusive. Maybe one other time, if even that. I'm not sure how many times we've released the Q&A audio show as an all-access show for everyone to check out. But we did that this week, and that actually came up on there. Aries and his future, and I think he really has done a good enough job that, yeah, I mean, he needs to be in the ring when he's healthy and able to get back in the ring. I think that's where the focus will be. But when the career career comes to an end, I do think that he's been good enough that he will have earned the at least strong consideration for a similar role, you know, doing color commentary. I think he's been very good so far, and I think he gets better with each week. And they seem to, you know, they spot, as I mentioned, they spotlighted him on Raw. You know, they kept cutting to him, showing him. You don't see them do that with the broadcast team members these days. During a match, cut to one of them only, and that's what they were doing on Raw, trying to kind of establish who this guy is. And but I, you know, I think he's going to come back and ultimately be the babyface in this division. Now that Neville has been established as the top heel, I thought Aries would be the heel of the division, but certainly looks like Neville is that guy. And that, I think, unless Swan catches fire, and I just I think he's going to be a likable character. I just don't know that he's going to be a long-term main event guy, and I don't see T.J. Perkins being likable enough to you know, the way he's portrayed, to be that guy. So someone has to do it, and I think even though Austin Aries is better, it's just a more natural heel. I think he will end up being that guy that ends up feuding with Neville whenever the time comes. And who knows? I don't know when Aries is going to be medically cleared, but if WrestleMania is a possibility, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that match, Neville against Austin Aries. I think that would be a tremendous match. But again, I'm not even sure when Aries will be when he's expected to be medically cleared. But that is going to do it for today. Hey, everybody, the .NET Weekly Audio Show. Hayden Gleed and I are getting together this morning, and actually, I take that back. Early this afternoon, and doing the annual Ring of Honor roster evaluation. We do this for all the major companies. TNA got pushed back just because of the ownership and creative changes, where everything's just kind of up in the air. But we did this for WWE earlier this year. We will definitely do it for TNA at some point. It's time for Ring of Honor. Last year, we just had a ton of information that hadn't been reported about where things stood contractually. But what we do is we go through one by one, each wrestler on the roster, discuss where we think they stand as far as in the mind of the company, what we think they should be doing. Should they be doing more with this person? Should they be doing less with this person? All sorts of things. And it's definitely very popular with the members. I hear a lot of great feedback about our roster evaluation shows, and Hayden and I will be doing that later on today for Ring of Honor. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to discussing some of the newcomers as well. You know, we'll obviously get into expiring contracts, and then Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll joining the company. So a lot to just talk about today in the .NET Weekly Audio Show. Plus, the members will hear my WWE SmackDown audio review as well. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, and you want to hear all of our audio content, that basically everything we've ever done is available on the member side, all you have to do is visit the main page. Once you're at the main page of ProWrestling.net, get into the sign-up area. You'll see three different pricing options. $750 gets you in the door for 1 month. Bring that price down to an average of $550. Save yourself $2 a month by taking our annual option. There is also a six-month option available. And as always, if you have any questions about this, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And a request that I make from time to time, if you could, take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. I appreciate everyone who has done that. And a big thanks also to everyone who has simply hit retweet when I put out the link. Again, at Pro Wrestling Net on Twitter. Until next time, and let's see, I'm not sure if you guys will hear from me again here on the All Access side before the new year. So have a very safe and fun New Year's Eve and a very happy new year. I'll talk to you again soon. Take care.